ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to a very apocalyptic episode of Thunderdome Metal Reviews. Tonight we are reviewing Meshuggah's new Immutable, which for those of you who can see the cover, is, I think, 2022 summarized in a single NFT-style image. So with me, as always, are my three amigos, Tracy, Ben, and Gabe. How are you gentlemen doing on this fine apocalyptic evening?
Thinking about how to sell an NFT of our podcast episode artwork of this.
That's the question, isn't it?
It's probably copyrighted. You would probably get big Meshuggah lawyer energy on that.
Banana.
It's not even a lawyer at that point. It's just a press.
They just send that dude with his knife.
No, that dude just knifes the three of us and just lets Gabe live to tell the others.
Yeah.
I have a question, David. Yes. Is Immutable a reference to Meshuggah's like now crystallized style? Because I feel like that's what it might be.
Yeah, I think they, between flipping a pancake, I mean, there's nobody would mistake this for a pancake. Nobody would mistake this for not Meshuggah. That is fair. Though I think they've shorn off a little of the acid jazz stuff. I think this is actually a pared down, even more brutal than at least the albums that happened in the noughts, but we can talk about that in a second.
We'll kind of get there. But there is a track on here that I think some people would think were Tool until they heard the singer. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's definitely not like Destroy, Erase, Improve in terms of the tempo or anything. It is actually mostly a tempo that I'm not always so into. It's sort of a lumbering, rolling. It's just like a giant coal fire that's slowly washing over you. But I feel like it works here. I'm hoping this is a point of overlap for me and Ben. We'll see.
I was fucking here for it.
I mean, I'm almost always here for Meshuggah.
Let's get through the deets first.
Yeah, let's. What are the statistics?
Oh, your friend. Immutable, released on April 1st of 2022, 10th studio album overall, Atomic Fire Records. Ricard Bengtsson was the producer, a runtime of 1 hour, 6 minutes, and 43 seconds. Jens Kidman on vocals, Fredrik Thordendal on guitars, Thomas Hock on drums, Martin Hagstrom on guitars, and Dick Lovgren on bass. And man, Tomas is right up there with Hoagland as a drummer. I'm just going to say that now.
Yes. That's so much.
Just look at it for a minute.
Yeah, I'm taking it in right now. I mean, I feel like I am that image, but mental state, this. Yeah, go on.
Yeah. I was just going to ask why you selected this album other than the fact that it's Meshuggah.
I initially selected it because it was just Meshuggah and there was not a lot on the schedule, and I love me some Meshuggah as, you know, DeGent's forebearer, ancestor, and just as a great band that I've liked since the 90s. And then I heard The Abysmal Eye and I realized it was just opening a window into the anus that is 2022. In the same way I felt like Hushed and Grim, however some of us don't like it, it was very much the zeitgeist of 2021. This broiling inferno of just toxic shit is, I believe, this, even the tempo of it, I mean, just lumbering annihilation from track to track to track. And I know it's longer than you liked, Ben. I could just hear Ben like, perhaps the album should be 50 minutes. I admit it's a long album, but
we'll get there. But they kind of got this down to about 40 minutes, to 40 to 50, and it would have been a much better album. But anyway.
But I wasn't disappointed. I listened to this album before it was a homework, like the whole month of April, repeatedly. So this week I gave it some cursory listens. I'm like, yep, still apocalyptic. And then I went back to crying and puking in a bucket and listening to Destruction or whatever I was doing. So. But thanks for putting up with it. But you like Meshuggah too, don't you, Gabe?
Yeah. A few years back, I started listening to some of their previous records. Like, I think, you know, that computer is dead now, but I listened to Destroy, Erase, Improve, and Obzen, and The Violent Sleep of Reason. And if I remember correctly, I was really into Obzen and Violent Sleep of Reason quite a bit. So I was kind of excited going into this. And it was a little bit disappointing for me, to be perfectly honest, because, you know, the Immutable thing, it sort of comes to the fore here because they have tightened up their style. And I think that the more slow moments on this and the more experimental moments on this for the band are weaker. I do think it's weaker. If it were up to me, if I could like wave my hands and Meshuggah just like does what I think they should do, then they would play a heavier and faster version of this style. But I guess it's just, you know, it goes to show that they really have kind of honed a certain style and they've narrowed it down to what they absolutely want. By the same token, and you're going to hear this later when we talk about tracks, they do some really, I think, needless experimenting on this, considering that they do have this style that they think is, you know, true to them and what they want to express. There's at least a few tracks on here where I was just like, you could probably just leave this off and you'd be fine. So I don't know, maybe that's just me.
The 9.5 instrumental or whatever. They just hear.
I don't think instrumentals are necessarily bad in themselves, but I think that because they play in this like very, you know, it's like a compositionally complex style. They get a lot of that. They get a lot of that play out of even songs with lyrics, so they don't really need instrumentals to do that kind of thing, and especially when the instrumentals don't lean into that kind of complex composition, that's where I think they run into trouble, because it's like, okay, you're waiting for something to happen and it doesn't, right?
I am going to agree with Gabe on that, because when I said you could get this down to a 40 to 50 minute album, you would just have to cut off the instrumentals. And I need you to ask yourself this, bands, is this Orion or the Call of Cthulhu? Because if it's not, you don't need a 9 minute instrumental. So I have laid my cards on the table as far as that goes. Go ahead, Gabe. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, that's fine. I think I basically said my piece. I think I was just responding to that. They obviously don't take their musical cues from me.
So I guess I'll jump in here real quick. I'm going to partially put one foot in the pool with Ben and Gabe. Like, the instrumentals, they are the weakest point in the album, but even still, for the least of my mind, it's still fucking crushing. I mean, they're the weakest point in a fantastic album. So they're B+ material on an A album, if you want to think of it in that sense. But I've only heard a couple of Meshuggah albums, and I enjoy that this one has the pared back version of them where you don't have such a disconnect in the guitars that you typically see, what you see with like Obsidian and Nothing. And this is just a much more just bludgeoning, slow rolling, like force just rolled over you. And for this week, it was definitely the soundtrack to this week that was needed.
Yeah, I'm usually team complexer, faster, louder, and love some of those early albums. I really like Obsidian and Chaos Fear. Man, I wrote like every fucking paper. An entire year in college listening to Chaos Theory over and over. So I, you know, I'm into it. But I think, you know, like Hutch and Grimm, I didn't really like Mastodon that much before I heard it, but something about the frequency aligned with the grotesque, bloody disaster that was 2021. And I feel like this one too. And maybe I rely on vibe too much, but this is, I'm with Tracy on this. This is what it sounds like right now. So,
and I think probably for you in part is the training condition you've gone through with Thunderdome of like all these new different sounds that like you hadn't had as much doom metal. If you hadn't been subjected to the month of Nonstop Paradise Lost, you might not have been as willingly accepting to the
change. I think that's true. No, I've listened to so many different kinds of music. I'm more tolerant about tempo and sort of that doomy atmospheric thing, because that wasn't always my thing. So to me, I don't know. I think you're right. I think I like this. One, the world is more fucking terrible than I could have imagined when I was listening to Chaos Sphere. And two, I think my palate has been refined. And I appreciated this experimentation from them. I don't necessarily want every album like this, but for this moment of just a coal and feces ball rolling towards me at about 8 miles an hour, I mean, this is that.
Yeah. Well, when we watched the Broken Cog video, you had said something like they've been working, like holding that in their back pocket for several years, looking for an album to put it onto. I wonder how many of these are tracks, right? It's just not fitting the vibe. And it's that's for that previous album. So it's, and they kind of built enough up in the bucket to like, well, we could put this on here and it all works to some degree level.
I think there's an element of that, certainly, because the Broken Cog really does set the tone, I think, for how it sounds. It doesn't, it's not false advertising, right? Like, the way it opens is much more of a slow burn, like, you know, the wicking that happens when someone spontaneously combusts, their fat slowly burns, and all that's left is their shoes. Like, that's, I'm serious, Tracy, that's a wicking effect created by your own fat. Anyway, the point is, just, you know, that slow burn that never lets up and consumes every inch of you except for your feet, starts with that track.
Well,
and then Invisible Eye just crushes you. Sorry, I shouldn't talk about tracks, please, Ben. Stop.
Yeah, that's fine. Well, I was just going to say Broken Cog is the one that I think gives a very Tool vibe. And I think that David said that this might be a point of convergence because of my love for sludge and doom and everything. And I agree with that because I actually don't mind the slower pace than this has and some of the earlier stuff, mainly because it still is, it is them being slower, but man, the rhythms are still syncopated and polyrhythmic, and the engine that makes this thing run, which is Tomas's drumming and the bass, I love how locked in they are. So this is, there's a lot more good here than there is bad, even though I don't know that I necessarily agree with Tracy's assessment of it, but I do agree with him that the instrumentals are the weakest link. And even then, that might just be in comparison to how good the rest of it is. So maybe I agree with him more than I was thinking when I started talking. But yeah, I think that this is a band that has, to Gabe's point, kind of mastered their style, but it's also still trying to play around, perhaps a bit needlessly so, within that, within the fun house that they have constructed. So let's talk about tracks.
All of them. Just jump on that. But really, I think Broken Cog does such a great job setting the tone for this album. Abysmal Eye is good. Phantoms is, I enjoy. Ligature Marks.
Ligature Marks.
And just keep rolling down the hill from there.
Yeah, I'm in that same team. This album is fucking awesome. I know it's a bit long. I don't usually like instrumentals. But I didn't skip them, which tells you something, because sometimes I'm like, nope, and I just move on to the next thing because I'm a tool. See what I did there, Ben? Anyway, yeah, this album is, from start to finish, a rip-roaring ride into hot lava of misery. Abysmal Eye is one of my favorite songs of the whole year, bar none. I really like that run from Broken Cog through God Sees in Mirrors is epic. And they break that momentum a little bit, but Kaleidoscope is awesome. So it's just, yeah, I'm Team Tracy on this one. This album's rock.
I will kind of say all of them, except the instrumentals. I didn't like any of them. I listened to them the first time through, but then on subsequent listens, I skipped the instrumentals. I will give Ligature Marks and God He Sees in Mirrors a special shout out, but I do agree that the first six tracks on this album are fucking badass.
Yeah, I like a fair amount of tracks on this album, but I wouldn't say that I like all of them, especially not equally. And I would give shout outs to a couple that haven't been named yet within the first six: Abysmal Eye, Light the Shortening Fuse, Phantoms. God He Sees in Mirrors, I think, is probably the best track on the album, followed closely by The Faultless. And I also like Kaleidoscope and I Am That Thirst. The instrumentals are really quite unnecessary on this album. And I think the opener is kind of weak, to be honest, given some of the bangers that are on the rest of it. It's definitely a bit long. And yeah, I think that's all I have to say about the tracks.
Right on. So let's grade this thing. David?
You know, as always, I thought about this for a while, and you're often comparing things in the pool with the week you do it. But I, you know, I don't think it's the best album they've ever made, but it's really fucking badass. I'm going to give it a 97. It has its problems, I admit it. I'm not going to give it 102, Tracy, so write that down. Not 102, but it's going to take a lot for me, at least, to unseat this as the album of the year. So I feel that's probably one of the highest things I've ever given to a thing that's not actually a classic album. Or maybe almost the highest score I've ever given to an album that wasn't one of those.
I mean, it's pretty up there.
So I'm going to give that a 97 and go puke more in the bucket and set myself aflame. I know all the other grades are going to be lower. I'm just going to take it.
Well, I guess I'll go next. I'm just going to say, I'm going to give this an A minus. I can't quite bring myself to give it an A. I want to give it time to sit. I've got a feeling we will be seeing it at least on my list at the end of the year. But outside of that, I don't know if I can quite pull the trigger on giving it an A at the moment.
I get it. I cheated and listened to it for like a whole extra month. Like a dick.
We knew you would. I mean, I think it's like, hey, here's Opeth. You're like, but Meshuggah.
That is when that happened. I'm like, oh no, I guess I'll have to listen to Opeth later.
I'm going to give this a B plus. I think it's an excellent album. It is too long and the instrumentals do not add anything at all.
Yeah, I'm right there with Ben. I think that if they had taken out maybe like even two of the instrumentals, I would like it a lot better.
There's only three. So if they just, one of them's 2 minutes, one of them at least 10 minutes.
They took it up to 10 minutes when Gabe would be like A plus. That's worth two of them, right?
I don't think I'd give it an A plus, but I'd definitely give it more than what I gave.
Ben's like, that's an interesting thought process.
It would have been an A album if there had other than, I'm not going to say if they had removed any of the instrumentals, because the 2 minute one is like, whatever, it's just 2 minutes. I don't care. But like, if they had removed either of the two long ones, then it might have got into the A minus territory.
Yeah.
I'm living then in the same world where Gabe was, where he could wave his hand and Meshuggah would automatically do whatever he wanted them to do, and that's not the world.
it's a rich fantasy life.
It is.
That's a power none of us are worthy to carry.
That is very true.
But as for Thunderdome, we collectively think of this as an A minus album at a 91. Now
I did that.
Well, even if you were to not have given it the David plus 500 for being a Stanford band, it would have been a 90 anyways. So.
So
it would have been still an A minus. Now, with the bigger question, would you buy it?
I would steal it and then burn them all to the ground where I purchased it while listening to it. And then buy it somewhere else.
I don't know that I'd go through all those steps, but I would buy it.
Yeah, I would just walk out of the record store label with it, with the receipt.
That's cowardice.
That's 10 to 20 years where I can't hear the album once they find out I done it. So, I mean.
It's not very, you know, metal of you, Tracy.
Black, well, you're assuming a functional justice system.
I'm just being the capitalist in me, where I'm like, hey.
You're being the corporate slaughterer that you are. That's what you are being.
You know, McKinney's had to queue for this.
What's the equivalent of, like, you know, I would wait for the VHS, like, you know, on this album?
The used record store.
I mean, yeah, I suppose I would buy it used. I don't think I'm dying to have this in my collection necessarily, but I like several of the tracks on it for sure.
New plan. I steal all of the copies, burn everything down, and then hand them out to you against your will. Like, here's the sugar you always wanted, everyone. I bought you two.
How does it work to hand out something against someone's will?
I don't know. You just do it. I mean, Meshuggah knows.
David's like, I'm confused.
David's like, and here you go. You're going to join me in prison too for being receiver of stolen property.
Tracy, you're way too concerned about this. I didn't realize that you were such a straight arrow, but I guess I should have.
I know.
A square.
I'm not built for prison, man. I'm not built for prison.
Oh, I've seen a lot of people in prison, Tracy, and you are built for prison, let me assure you.
Those are not the words I want to hear, Ben.
Diggy, diggy, dog.
Yeah. Speaking of the words that everybody wants to hear, we are bringing, we just knew we had to fit this next album in here. So it is a freebie, no pick on anybody's that was released in April. And we are putting the newest Rammstein album straight to the dome for you. So you know what to expect from it.
Straight to the Thunderdome. And, oh, by the way, listeners, watchers, whatever you may be, stalkers, occasional, you know, companions, we are coming up on our 500th album review, not our 500th episode, but our 500th album that we will be reviewing. And we, dear listeners, would like your help in selecting that. So be watching our Twitter, which I don't remember what the actual thing is, but if you search Thunderdome Metal Reviews, you will find it. And give us your opinion of what that hallowed album should be. And hopefully it'll be something good. But anyway, catch you next time.